All right, it is a morning 49ers update. I know that I beat the clock by just about 7 minutes. It's 11:53 on the West Coast. It is Saturday, though. Figured it'd be better to start a little bit later on Saturday. Ohio State Bar is right down the street. I swung by. Fans, they can't. I don't think they could do this in Ohio anymore. It's late October. They can't sit outside at a bar in the sun and watch games. So the Ohio State fans that made it out here to California to be able to watch over at Teeth on Mission Street, they're having a good time. I don't know if they're still ahead. I would assume they are, but Nebraska, where they're playing, has that quarterback who's the Patrick Mahomes wannabe. That was interesting. Anyway, 49ers update this morning. We're going to talk about something that has exposed a lot of people as casuals again. And I get it. There are casual fans, but that's different than casuals. Casuals are people that act like they know way more than they do, but really make fools out of themselves when they try to make declarative statements about the game of football. And 49ers audible gate this week has truly exposed these casuals. You know, you don't have people, or maybe you do, but I don't see it as often. And I guess that sports and professional sports especially lends itself to a much more public platform, but you don't have somebody pretend that they know everything about brain surgery or heart surgery and, you know, then just go off on how somebody who's trained to do it is incorrect. But in the case of football and how the 49ers are running an intricate offense and how the rest of the NFL, so this is the highest level of football, is running intricate offenses, all of a sudden you've got experts. This week, Brock Purdy said that, no, I don't technically call audibles. And there was a subset of people who freaked out thinking that, oh, this must be why the 49ers are currently sputtering, why they didn't look good against the Chiefs offensively. Instead of simply just saying, well, maybe since they were down their top four skill position weapons, including two prior to game planning, so they couldn't really plan to adjust for the losses, maybe that's why they look bad. People started looking at the 49ers process, the same process that has yielded elite offensive results over the past few seasons. Again, this was the number one offense to finish the 2022 season, the number one offense to finish the 2023 season. In 2021, with as many injuries as the 49ers had pre-Brock Purdy, 49ers were in the top five offensively. So I think how the 49ers run their offense with regards to the audible rules is sound. The data shows us that it's sound. And I think that people should probably learn a little bit about what they're talking about before trying to say that they know better than people who are actually trained and have studied this their whole lives, like Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers coaching staff. So I put this up on social media yesterday. I wanted to try to capture nuance and simplify it as much as possible, because I know that in NFL discourse on social media, nuance tends to be the enemy of a lot of people who want clickbait, who want the hot take to prevail. But we have to go through nuance here. And you can go ahead and check this out, Lombardi himself on Twitter. But to talk about audibles and what the 49ers process is, we have to divide the discussion into three components. Number one, the audible. Number two, the protection. And number three, the answer. So audible, protection, and answer. Audible seems to be at the center of discussions right now. The mechanism that people incorrectly call the audible is actually built into the play call. So when the 49ers go up and they line up, defense is in front of them, Brock Purdy is barking out orders at the line of scrimmage, he actually has multiple options. People say that, oh, Brock Purdy can't call audibles. That doesn't mean he can't change the play. The point of Kyle Shanahan's system is to take as much off the quarterback's mind as possible pre-snap, because he knows that playing quarterback might be the hardest position to play in all of sports. So the answers, and we're going to talk about the answers in a little bit, but The answers are in what people mistakenly call the audible. People remember Peyton Manning, who was out there changing plays and to some extent freelancing because it was Peyton Manning. Obviously, he was famous for that. And they say, okay, well, if another quarterback is not allowed to do exactly what Peyton Manning was allowed to do, then he's not allowed to change the play. That's not true. He's not allowed to audible. There's a difference between audibling and changing the play. Let's read what else I had to write here. Purdy has multiple options at the line, but total freelance ability, which is what would actually be the definition of an audible, is just not common in the NFL. It doesn't happen. I think the problem here is Madden, not John Madden. I'm talking about the video game Madden. People's ideas of football are oversimplified, probably due to video games. They think that you could walk up to the line if you're an NFL quarterback, press a button on your controller, and change the play completely, and it just doesn't work that way. So the starting misconception here is that the 49ers and Brock Purdy don't have the flexibility to change the play at the line of scrimmage. Have you guys ever watched when Brock Purdy puts his hands up toward his helmet? Jimmy Garoppolo used to do it too. It's actually changing the play at the line of scrimmage, usually to the other option that's built in. So they'll have at least two options when they line up that give them, I would say typically probably a run option and a pass option. It could probably even be more than that in certain circumstances, but there definitely are options when the 49ers line up at the line of scrimmage. Now, there are also options, and this is also flexible in terms of number two, the protection. And this part of it is on the center. This is another one of Kyle Shanahan's mechanisms to take as much off the quarterback's plate cerebrally as possible before the start of the play. So he puts a ton on the center cerebrally. The center has to identify which way the line is going to shift to protect against the defensive front that he's seeing. The center also has to identify the safety rotations, which is really, really difficult when you're crouching down to snap the football because you've got to see guys two levels down on that third level of the defense. But the quarterback and the center must then work in cohesion to attack the defense based on what the defense is bringing from a pass rushing perspective. So that's why we talk about the audible first, which doesn't actually exist in this system, but people what people talk about as the audible does exist. So just because it's not called an audible doesn't mean that the ability to change plays isn't there. Then we talk about the protection, and then we talk about the answer. So we're going to read a little bit more here so I could tie all this together. The 49ers' actual issues against Kansas City were rooted in number two, the protection, and number three, the answers to pressures versus these protections. So defenses are going to pressure the 49ers. Those 49ers are going to face their protections. Which way is the offensive line going to slide? Are the 49ers going to send a running back out to pass protect? Is George Kittle going to help? If the blitz pressure overwhelms the protection, there must be an attainable answer schemed into the play for Purdy to beat the pressure. So example of an answer. The 49ers were against the Chiefs. Two free rushers came off the right side of the line of scrimmage. The prescribed answer on the play was Brock Purdy throwing hot. You throw hot. It's a hot read because the pressure is unblocked, so you've got to get it off quickly. He's throwing hot to Brandon Ayuk. The problem with that answer was that it was a tough answer to get because Ayuk was on the other side of the pressure. The pressure was coming from the right. Ayuk was running in kind of into that seam on the left side. So I thought watching the tape, it was a nearly impossible answer for Brock Purdy. It would have taken a hell of a play. Now, he's made insane throws against pressure on the hot read. You go back to his first start or his first action against Miami in 2022. Remember when Jalen Phillips came in clean and Brock Purdy threw what looked like it was a blind throw to George Kittle. He trusted his answer on the play and got it out there. So I'm not saying that Brock Purdy is incapable of making the throw that I'm talking about to Brandon Ayuk, but I think at the very best, it was extremely difficult. So what had to happen there was the answer had to be a little bit better. The answer built into that play had to be better. I would prescribe for somebody to be a little bit more open on the and open quicker on the side from where the blitz is coming. Typically, this is a general rule. If the rush is coming unblocked from one side, you would like the quarterback to throw to where the rush is coming from, because the pass rushers, the blitzers, whoever they may be, are going to be vacating a spot on the football field. So right now, I think the key is, and we saw this in the Super Bowl where Steve Spagnuolo dialed up 9 unblocked pressures against the 49ers, and a couple of those derailed huge plays in that game. Trent McDuffie on 3rd and 4. I think we saw it with the play that I'm talking about to Brandon Ayuk. I think the 49ers need to have some better answers. And that's ultimately up to Kyle Shanahan. So everybody's saying, oh, well, where's the responsibility for Shanahan? The responsibility for Shanahan's an actual play calling, and that comes through the answers on the play. As I say here, Purdy missed some key answers against Kansas City, so the blame is not singularly on the coach, but it's also important to scrutinize the play caller. Shanahan has successfully tweaked his answers over the long chess match that is an NFL season, and he must do so again. That's the play caller's role in fixing San Francisco's issues. And then this is, you know, where context and historical performance is really, really necessary. It's going to be at the very bottom of the screen. You can zoom in on it a little bit, but I'm circling it down here. The evidence of Shanahan's successful track record can be found in the fact that the 49ers have been top 5 DVOA whenever they've had their QB1 since 2021, and look at their record pre and post the bye week. Before the bye week, the 49ers over the past 3 years, before this one, 11 and 10. If we count this season, then that record is right at 500 because they're one game under 500. But after the bye week, the 49ers have nearly an 80% winning percentage, or nearly at 800, 30 and 8. So what that tells you is that in this game of audible protection and answer, Kyle Shanahan's answers have gotten better over the course of seasons. 49ers turn on the Jets offensively typically in November. And why is this? Well, because he's got to get a feel of what defenses are doing to the 49ers. Every year, schematically, they're going to be facing different challenges. And then he has to make the little tweaks so that the job is easier for the quarterback on the back end. It's a symbiosis between Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. And it's a system that, again, has worked remarkably well for the 49ers over the past few seasons. Yet you have people coming in acting like they know how to run this system better because they've played a video game or two, because they pressed a button on their PlayStation controller. Everybody with a keyboard and an internet connection these days seems to think that they can be an expert, but they just aren't. That's the case. So that's the truth on this whole audible thing. It really has exposed a lot of people. I know that we see people exposed on the whole Brock Purdy thing frequently. It's not just with the audibles, but we also have the fact that one game tends to completely color the verdict on Brock Purdy, which is ridiculous. I've never seen that level of scrutiny for any quarterback, and I think that the last pick in the draft should probably have less of it than first-round picks. But this is quarterback efficiency and accuracy since 2022, and Brock Purdy entered the league. He's over here. He's in the top right. He's been the most efficient quarterback in the league. He's there with Allen and Mahomes at the top. So audible gate to me is just an extension of people acting like every single individual game is some kind of referendum on Brock Purdy's play, when it's not. When it's the totality of what Brock Purdy has done, that is what actually dictates how good of a quarterback he is. And John Lynch said it best the other day. He said he's played excellent games 95% of the time since he's joined the 49ers, and that the Kansas City performance was an outlier. Lynch's comment was, Tom Brady called that game the other day. Tom had bad games. It happened to Peyton Manning. It happened to Joe Montana. Guess what? Tom Brady, one of his worst career games, came against Brock Purdy in Brock's first career start, 2022 Tampa Bay against the 49ers. So if that's not something that should give people easy to access perspective. I don't know what is. I get it. The perspective is not popular because people want to be prisoners of the moment, but I won't let that happen because we actually have data over a longer period of time. And this longer period of time shows Purdy up here. And guess what? Purdy's been doing this type of efficiency, top of the league, with the audible system, or the lack of audible system, if you want to call it that, that the 49ers are running. He's been doing it with our three key points: audible, protection, answer. The answers are built into the play call. And it's not easy to access the answers. It should never be easy. This is playing quarterback in the National Football League. But Brock Purdy has accessed those answers. Kyle Shanahan has made them accessible. Have they been perfect so far this season? No, they haven't. But have the adjustments consistently been great from Shanahan as far as delivering good answers for the 49ers over the years? Yes, they have. That's, I think, why people who actually know what they're looking for are excited to see how the 49ers are going to move forward. Now, they're not quite at their bye week yet. So, and they're not going to have Juwan Jennings on Sunday against the Cowboys. So they're going to have to figure out a way to cross the bridge of Sunday to get into the bye week at 4-4 so that they can really start to have a little bit more time over the bye week, not only to get guys healthy, but also to do some self-scouting so they could see where their answers have been a little bit weak, to see where their protections have been a little bit weak. Although I think people are underrating the 49ers offensive line. I think it's been playing all right so far in the season. I do think that schematically, that's where the 49ers have to get better. I think Kyle Shanahan has to adapt with some of the answers on some of these plays to better beat the aggressive protections that defensive coordinators like Steve Spagnuolo and Brian Flores are throwing at the 49ers. It's as simple as that. They still rank in the top 10 efficiency-wise offensively. It's not like this has been a total train wreck. And again, we have to emphasize the larger picture. And that is the 49ers and Brock Purdy efficiency-wise have literally led the league. It's been better than Allen. It's been better than Mahomes, better than Prescott, better than Goff, better than Tua, better than Hurts, better than Lamar Jackson, better than Joe Burrow. The Shanahan-Purdy combination has yielded better offensive results, more efficient results since Brock Purdy entered the league than any other quarterback. So I think it is awfully casual to go around pretending like there's some kind of video game tweak that you can make to all this. Hopefully that explains how the 49ers actually run things. The lack of an audible by name does not mean that Brock Purdy goes up to the line unable to shift out of a play. I'm sorry, people just don't understand this, or at least what I saw online, people just didn't understand this. They oversimplified Brock Purdy's words, and then we're left with what I thought was the worst part of the practice week this week, was the bad look when it came to 49ers fans trying to correct Kyle Shanahan and trying to correct what San Francisco was trying to do offensively. All right. Will the 49ers beat the Cowboys? I did this video last night. We did the driverless car video. I think that it comes down to some fixes. I don't think the 49ers necessarily have to execute all of them to beat Dallas. I don't think Dallas is a juggernaut this year, but this is up on the San Francisco Standard. These are the five fixes that the 49ers must make. I'm going to talk about this in a separate video a little bit later, but you could read through this. The link is up on the Twitter, but reestablish the short passing game, going to be really important for the 49ers. Continue improving the run defense, tighten the screws of pass defense. Just don't lose on special teams. I mean, the special teams have been horrific for San Francisco so far this year. You've got to figure out a way to make that something that's at least just neutral. You just got to be neutral for the 49ers. Doesn't have to be great. Keep it neutral on special teams. Dallas, number one unit in football. And then deliver in short yardage run situations. Improve some of these aspects and you win this game against the Dallas Cowboys. I think it's simple as that. And the mandatory one, I think, really is don't lose the game on special teams, because no matter what else you try to fix and the five things that I listed, special teams can go and detonate everything for the 49ers, and that obviously would not be good for them. But in this piece, we're able to get through several charts. This is a run defense chart for the 49ers. It hadn't been terrible this season, but it still ranks below average. if you go to the article and you zoom in, I'm not going to put it up on the screen right now. You could see their logo on the Y-axis is a little bit below average. We're going to talk about the trade deadline coming up. I'm kind of saving a lot of that discussion for after this game because the 49ers bye week happens to align with the trade deadline. And I think it's going to be smart to evaluate this game to see exactly what they might need. But, you know, there's talks of them picking up a defensive tackle, somebody that can help with that interior run defense. Obviously, the linebacker and safety position can help with the run defense as well. I just think they need to get back into the upper half of the league in terms of run defense. And I've been saying that since last year. They're number 26 EPA against the run, although they're nowhere near as bad as the Cowboys. And if you open this up here, I think it is worth getting up on the screen. Just kidding about what I said a few minutes ago. We got to get this up on the screen because we have to see where Dallas is and how bad the Cowboys have been in terms of run defense. Look at this. So the 49ers are right here. Not terrible. The lower you are, the worse your run defense is. Not great, though. They're kind of in the mediocre cluster at the bottom of the mediocre cluster of teams. And then you've got Dallas, who's just been atrocious on run defense. So this can help the 49ers in run offense. They've been decently efficient running the ball, except in the situations where push really, really comes to shove. And I was able to write about that in the piece. We have a look at the 49ers' stuff rate and the 49ers' power success rate. That's here in the very last part of this. The 49ers have run the ball with decent efficiency until they've encountered put up or shut up moments. They've worsened from number 4 to number 18. That's a big drop. Over just one season in stuff rate, which measures the percentage of runs stopped for no gain or a loss. They've dropped even more precipitously from number 7 to 25 in power success rate, which measures a team's conversion percentage on third and fourth down runs with less than 2 yards to go. So from number 4 to 18 and number 7 to 25, again, those are the kind of things that you need at least in the middle of the pack if you're the 49ers, at least in the middle of the pack. But it hadn't been in the middle of the pack. It's been too low. When they've needed a yard, they haven't been able to consistently get that yard, to especially disastrous results last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Then if I talk about just don't lose on special teams, I'm going to make this special teams graphic even better, bigger. 49ers are, this is total points gained or lost on special teams. So you want to be further to the right. Dallas is in a good spot down here, but Dallas hasn't turned the ball over. Y-axis is takeaways on defense. Dallas is not doing well there, but look, 49ers doing okay takeaway-wise. They've gained some points, but they're way down here on special teams. That's not good. The only team that's even in the ballpark of where the 49ers have bled on special teams is the Atlanta Falcons. So move your logo from here to like just where the Seahawks are, just where the Rams are, you know, just to the lower end of mediocrity. I mean, even if the 49ers are where the Colts or the Giants are, even if they're still bad on special teams, but just not atrocious, I think that we see them at only 2 losses right now. They're 3-4. I think that the Rams game and then the Cardinals game with better special teams play. Well, I guess against Arizona, they were a little bit better. The Arizona game, they had the field goal block, right? But definitely the Rams game, that it's at least one more win for San Francisco. Now, they were atrocious special teams-wise against week two against Minnesota, and that could have been the difference against the Vikings. So you've got to be better than that on special teams. Then I talk about tightening the screws of the pass defense in here. This, to me, is really interesting. The 49ers this year, and this really, really coincides with the loss of Dre Greenlaw. They've lost to Sean Gibson at safety. So I think their middle field pass defense just hasn't been as cohesive as it was in the past. They've allowed 9.6 yards per attempt on throws to the middle third of the field, which is the 6th worst mark in the NFL. They were in the top 5 year after year after year for 6 straight seasons. So they've gone from top 5 consistently to about number 26 this season. So that's another polar drop, right? You go from the one polar opposite to the other. And it just has to change. The middle of the field in the NFL, these offenses are attacking it. In the Super Bowl last year after the 49ers lost Dre Greenlaw, Patrick Mahomes attacked it mercilessly. 24 of 26 in that game from Mahomes to the middle of the field. Mahomes had his worst game as far as passer rating went against the 49ers last week. But where he did actually pick up yardage, where he did attack with his arm successfully, was the middle of the field. Now, I get it that, you know, Devondre Campbell is a downgrade over Dre Greenlaw. And I get it that, you know, your safety play right now is still developing. I think Malik Mustafa is going to be a really good player. They like Jair Brown, but I don't think he's covered as well as somebody like Deshaun Gibson, their experienced safety last year. I understand where you've got some issues and personnel deficiencies, but you have to keep on ironing out those kinks moving forward to tighten the screws of the pass defense. And, you know, that's going to go hand in hand with the run defense. When I talk about the struggles of the 49ers run defense, that works in conjunction with the pass defense. You have to set up better down and distance. As a defense, the offense is not playing games against you downhill. So I think that you can really kill two birds with one stone in that regard. And then finally, we talk about reestablishing the short passing game. And this is going to go hand in hand with what we're talking about with audibles, changing the play at the line of scrimmage, the protection, and the answer. But I talked about reestablishing the short passing game. There's even a nice picture of Brock Purdy, that's part of that in this article. There you go. Oops, went to the wrong text title. There we go. You see it right here. The 49ers, there are several staggering stats this year that I've gone through time and time again. But just to tie this entire video together, the short passing game, I think, is the key to developing better answers to other teams' pressures. Because, you know, for example, on the play that didn't work to Brandon Ayuk last week, when Ayuk is running off to the left side and Brock Purdy tries to hit him with two unblocked rushers coming in from the right side, but just, you know, is way too rushed on the throw and isn't able to get an accurate ball out there. I think that the 49ers probably would have been better suited if there had been an answer on the right side. Maybe George Kittle sitting down. If he, you know, Kittle was the one on the play who passed right by the two free rushers. So if it's built into the play call, an option for him is built into the play call where he could turn around, sit down, and catch a quick pass from Brock Purdy, who can also then throw into the blitz, which is what you want to do. All of a sudden, some yak can be generated because Kittle will theoretically catch the ball in open spaces. Well, the 49ers rank last in the league in yak this year. They were number one last season. Brock Purdy leads the league in average depth of target. He was middle of the pack last season, so he's throwing much longer passes. And the 49ers and Brock Purdy are also last in the NFL in screen passes this season. Purdy has attempted a screen pass only 11 times this year for 45 passing yards. Both of those numbers are lowest in the NFL. The 49ers have also only generated one explosive passing play on a target that has been caught behind the line of scrimmage. They had 70 of those over the six seasons prior to this one. So all the numbers indicate that they're not utilizing the short part of the field enough. And obviously Christian McCaffrey has not been playing. He's expected back in week 10. I think that's the primary reason why the 49ers have not been using the short part of the field, but it's not like they've dropped from number one to number 16 in yards after the catch. They've dropped from number one to number 32. It's gone from, again, the polar end of the spectrum to the other pole. It's gone from the North Pole to the South Pole. And that is too drastic. That's something that I think ends up lying in the answer. And that's why the key for Kyle Shanahan moving forward is to adjust for better answers in that short passing game. Now they're going to have to build a bridge this week against the Dallas Cowboys. They're not going to have Christian McCaffrey back. Jordan Mason's been targeted, what, only 11 or 12 times all season? Maybe you have to target Jordan Mason more. Maybe it's Deebo Samuel lining up in the backfield. If you don't trust Jordan Mason enough as a receiver, line up somebody in the backfield that can give you a little bit more of an outlet and you know, has really good hands. That's obviously Deebo Samuel. For a running back, you'd have the best hands in the league. Him and Christian McCaffrey, obviously, who's really, really good. So however the 49ers try to figure things out this week, I think that the paths have to lead to a better short passing attack. And that's why that was my number one key when I discussed these things up on the San Francisco Standard. So you can go ahead and check out that article. I'm going to toss it Mike's way right now, since we did feature it extensively here. He can throw this into the description on YouTube and you could check that out. Everybody check out the Lombardi Lounge podcast if you're watching this on video, which is either through Twitter or on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, go to check out YouTube. And obviously you can follow me on Twitter as well. But the link to this article is going to be up on the description of the YouTube page. So the question was, will the 49ers beat the Cowboys? And I answered this last night on the Driverless Live show. I know that people were busy. It was Friday night. Didn't expect a lot of people to watch that one live. I think the answer to this is yes. I think San Francisco will win. I think they're significantly better than Dallas offensively and defensively. It is a different matchup than it was in the past. Mike Zimmer is now Dallas's defensive coordinator. Dan Quinn is now in Washington. So some things have changed up as far as how Dallas plays defense there. But there is no Micah Parsons in this game. And the run defense, which was bad last year for the Cowboys, has been even worse this season. If the 49ers can't run this week, it's trouble. I don't care if Christian McCaffrey is still out. You've got to be able to run, and not just run in between the 20s and on first and 10 and second and five, but deliver on third and one, third and two. Deliver on third and goal, where Jordan Mason on carries inside the five-yard line this year. He has seven attempts and he has negative 1 yards. So they've gone backwards on some of those plays. Chris Foerster was talking about the one in Arizona, or versus Arizona at Levi Stadium. It was about as hot as Arizona is in the summer on that afternoon. But he was talking about the fact that he thought that maybe Mason could cut up field a little bit earlier and then he would have had room for a few yards. Instead, he's trucked in the backfield and he fumbles the football. And obviously the 49ers fumbled that game. So Mason's got to be better. I think Shanahan has to be better. I think pass and run all tie in together. So if Shanahan is better at defeating pressures in the pass game with well-executed short game answers, that's why I put answer up on the screen here when we were talking about the whole audible gate and all of that. If Shanahan is better in that regard, that's going to help the run game. These things are, it's like a puzzle. And the 49ers have all the pieces. They've got the talent. They have the quarterback. As soon as a couple pieces come together, when you're putting together a big jigsaw puzzle, you could start thinking about, okay, this third and this fourth piece fits a lot better. Now I can see exactly where this is going to fit. But if it's all a jumbled mess, everything's going to look worse. Everything's going to look more incomplete. So it's really important for the 49ers to just go back to the basics, get a couple of the rudimentary, obvious pieces down and firm so they can start putting in the more complex stuff. And that's how seasons turn around. I talked about it earlier this week, and I stick with this analogy. The 49ers, when they turned it around in 2021 and 2022, they played the Rams. And I like the 2021 example because they didn't have Christian McCaffrey yet that season. In 2022, McCaffrey had joined the team by that point. But in 21, the 49ers' focus was on the answer portion that I put up here. Shanahan had to develop better answers, and the protection suffered more that year because the offensive line was worse than it is now. And what the 49ers did is they resorted to the quick pass game in 2021. They resorted to Jimmy Garoppolo releasing the ball in 2.3 seconds, snap to release. And it worked. They were able to bludgeon the Rams in the run game. They were able to carve them up in the pass game. They were able to defuse a pass rush that featured Aaron Donald and Von Miller, and they won 31-10. I don't think that the Cowboys present the same type of challenge defensively as the Super Bowl champion, the eventual Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams did in 2021. But I'm also thinking about the longer picture here for the 49ers. I'm thinking about the back half of the season where you're going to have a big game against Tampa Bay on November 10th. The Seattle Seahawks come into town on November 17th. Back-to-back against the Packers and the Bills to straddle November and December. A good Chicago Bears defense coming in, and then a short week before the Rams come in. Then the Detroit Lions, right? Coming up right after Christmas for San Francisco. I'm thinking about all these really big games down the stretch and how the 49ers are right in the thick of things. The NFC West is just clustered together right now. And I'm thinking about how do the 49ers get marginally better offensively? Doesn't have to be a lot. How do they find those couple puzzle pieces to let everything else fall into place? This is how it's going to happen. It's going to have to be adjusting for better answers down the stretch. It's not going to be by giving Brock Purdy audible power. It's not going to be the myopic, idiotic stuff that we're hearing out there from people who don't know what they're talking about but act like experts even though they're casuals. It's going to be by the 49ers executing what has worked really well for them in the past. This formula has worked for them in the past, but they have to make the adjustments, or at least the quality of adjustments that they've made in the past at around this time of the year. And the reason that, I mean, this is such a danger zone game for the 49ers because Dallas is coming off their bye week and the 49ers are about to enter their bye week. Typically, and I showed this number at the start of the show and we can go right back to it right here. Typically, the 49ers have been, oh, this is actually going to be up on the Twitter, wrong space. Here we go. Typically, the 49ers have been really, really good after the bye, 30-8 after the bye, nearly an 800 winning percentage. Over the past 3 years, they've been a 500 team before the bye, but after the bye, they have kicked it into gear. The bye is not here yet, though. So how do they bridge the gap between now and the bye week, especially with Dallas coming off the bye week, one of the several teams that's coming off a bye week against the 49ers this year? It adds a physical challenge to the 49ers, and I think there's a real cerebral challenge for San Francisco. You know, I call it the boxer, just trying to get to the end of the round right now. They're up against the ropes. They're taking a few punches. They've got to get to the end of the round, and that's going to be the key as they face the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Sunday Night Football. So I do think that they're going to get it done. I think the 49ers have been better than Dallas. I think it will come down to the special teams just not screwing it up. But I think that the track record of somebody like Brock Purdy has been stellar. Give me 1 second, guys. I think there might be a package or something here. Be right back. All right, it was indeed a package. I am back. I had a sign for something that came in via the Postal Service, thanks to them. And now we can open it up to a 49ers Q&A. Just a few minutes, then I got to go get a haircut ahead of Sunday Night Football tomorrow night. I got to go get my swim in the bay, maybe stop by a couple college team bars. Beautiful day in San Francisco. So we're going to have fun with this before the 49ers take on the Cowboys. All right, I'm just now delving into the comment section. So if you have any good questions, go ahead and answer them. Definitely have a few minutes for that right now. Hassan asks, is there anyone the 49ers can pick up to help improve the offensive line? It's going to be really tough. You might be able to pick up a sixth man type, but teams aren't going to be trading really good linemen at this time. Last year, the 49ers got Ben Bartsch off of Jacksonville's practice squad, and he won Scout Team Player of the Week along with Tariq Owens this week. So Bartsch is somebody that might contribute for the 49ers if there are injuries at some point, but offensive linemen are just not in really good supply. And again, let me emphasize this. The Niners offensive line is not playing all that poorly. Definitely better than last year. And I can get more into this in the San Francisco Standard over the bye week when we do the bigger performance review. But they're getting better, definitely better play from right guard. Above average pass protection from Dominic Pooney. Colton McKivitz has taken big strides, I think, with the help of Dominic Pooney just to his left. And after a slow start, Jake Brendel is playing decently well right now. The worst pass protection is actually coming from Aaron Banks at left guard. But there are teams and a lot of teams that are in a much bigger world of hurt up front than the 49ers are right now. So when we talk about picking players up for the trenches, I think it's much more likely the 49ers pick up somebody for the defensive line just because it's a lot easier to do that. Okay, so somebody says here, Purdy is equal to Jimmy 2.0. So let me say a couple things. First off, if Brock Purdy could deliver at the level of a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, that's not a bad thing. Jimmy Garoppolo was a good quarterback for the 49ers. It was injuries that derailed his career. Second off, Brock Purdy is much better than Jimmy Garoppolo. So Jimmy Garoppolo was a good quarterback, I'd say even a very good quarterback, when he was healthy for the 49ers. Even when he was hurt, man, he was doing stuff in 2021 with two bad injuries to his thumb and to his shoulder. He was still winning games for the 49ers. I mean, that was a gutsy run from Garoppolo. So I think that he deserves some respect for what he did for the 49ers. But Brock Purdy has taken what Jimmy Garoppolo was able to do in the Kyle Shanahan system and truly, truly elevated it. Garoppolo was consistently in the upper right of charts like this for the 49ers, but he was never up here. He would be like down in this area. The completion percentage over expectation wasn't as great. He wasn't throwing as deep. Garoppolo would be over here. Purdy, again, Purdy is equal to Allen and Mahomes. I would say Purdy is greater than Allen and Mahomes when it comes to the efficiency he's put up since he entered the league. So you've managed to be incorrectly disrespectful of both Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo in one comment. I congratulate you on that, but it must not be fun to be wrong. Sure. I mean, I'm here just to say the truth. And, we started this by talking about how casuals get things wrong. One area where casuals really got it wrong was Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo was a good quarterback for the 49ers, bordering on very good. The problem with Garoppolo is that he got hurt over and over and over again. That's so unfortunate. I mean, it derailed 49ers seasons, but he came through for the 49ers. And before that first big injury in 2017, we saw how good Jimmy Garoppolo could have been if that had been a healthy quarterback. Unfortunately for the 49ers, and for Jimmy Garoppolo, that's the way that the story proceeded. But to act like what he did was something that you could just kind of scoff at is patently ridiculous, because playing quarterback in the National Football League is very, very difficult. What I think what we've seen from Brock Purdy is a carryover of the efficiency that Jimmy Garoppolo was able to bring, a healthy Jimmy was able to bring, but he's added athleticism that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have. Some say that Garoppolo had a little bit of that before the ACL tear. Yeah, I mean, we saw it in 2017. He was escaping. He was running around. I don't think it was anything like the burst that we've seen from Brock Purdy, though. Purdy's truly elite when it comes to the 10-yard burst and escapability and pocket presence. And his accuracy downfield has been greater than Jimmy Garoppolo's. So he's been able to elevate the 49ers offense You know, two things can be true at once. Jimmy Garoppolo could have been really good for the 49ers, and Brock Purdy can be absolutely great for the 49ers. Purdy has been an elite quarterback for San Francisco. The data speaks for itself. This also speaks for the 49ers' audible or lack of audible process, which is totally fine. And anybody who says differently than what I just was talking about for the past 2 minutes, I mean, they have a very casual take on what Jimmy Garoppolo and now Brock Purdy has brought the 49ers offense. Get Johnny Dell on the channel. That would be really cool. I don't know if we'd be showing film, but it might be fun to show some film while Johnny's breaking it down. He's got a great channel. Shout out to Johnny Dell Football Academy. That's what the FA stands for. He's on YouTube. He does a really, really good job breaking down the X's and O's. Somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. And it's funny because you talk to people who know what they're talking about, X's and O's, and then they'll tell you how difficult it is to play quarterback, and they'll tell you basically consistent things about Brock Purdy and how good he's been for the 49ers. Dakota Montana, Feliciano return. Does he play? They're looking at Feliciano as sixth offensive lineman, like a number six. And if he does return, I think it's because they have an injury up front. And I mean, almost certainly there's going to be a need for him at some point. You might as well just save that though until you actually need it. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. This has been fun. Audible Gate exposed the casuals, just like, I mean, they get exposed over and over again, talking about 49ers quarterbacks, about Garoppolo, about Brock Purdy, now about audibles. Lay off the video games, folks. It's okay. You can go out there and you can know what you're talking about. You have to actually listen. You know, Shanahan and Purdy have talked about their audible process for years, and people acted like this was the first time they had made a comment about it. They have the ability to change the play at the line of scrimmage. It's just not called an audible because this is not as simple as a game of Madden. All right, everybody go check out the standard, San Francisco Standard. Link is in the description. Time for me to roll. There's the article. Nice picture from Z, Michael Zgaris from the 49ers locker room. Purdy, Pearsall, George Kittle. The ball is everything, as you can see in the background there to their right. Everybody take care.